Welcome to Senior Power of Maine. Hi, I'm your host, David Neely, and as the past publisher of Maine Seniors Magazine, I know that senior power is Maine's greatest natural resource. Yes, I said senior power. Maine senior citizens are the reason Maine has the highest volunteer rate in the nation. In fact, the involvement of our seniors in community and civic organizations provide the very fabric of our cities and towns, making them great places to live. And Maine is also considered a generous state, despite our low income, with most of our philanthropy coming from, you guessed it, Maine's seniors. This radio program, Senior Power of Maine, will be filled with a combination of entertainment and information for mature audiences only. So if you are a senior partner or work with those who are, you'll want to grab a cup of coffee and enjoy our Senior Power Half Hour this and every Saturday morning from 8 to 8:30. My co-host this morning is Lynn McGregor. Good morning, Lynn.
And good morning to you, David, and to all our senior partners.
We have a special guest today with us, Jane Margeson, Communications Director of AARP Maine. Welcome to the show, Jane.
Well, thank you, David. I am absolutely delighted to be on the program and honored to have been asked to join you today. Thank you.
You went with me to the signing of legislation we got passed to create a Seniors Day for Maine, the second Saturday of every September, and you went with me as the governor signed that into law. And I was a little concerned at one point because when I don't understand what's going on, okay, I get concerned. And I saw you go right up to him, and all of a sudden you're speaking French, he's speaking French. I don't even know what was said, but it looked like everything went over really well.
That is so funny that you remember that. Yes, that was a wonderful day, David, to what you just said about Maine Seniors Day. I mean, we were so happy to support an initiative like that that really shines a light on the power of the senior voice in the state of Maine. And older adults are just integral to everything that we do at AARP. At the cornerstone, I would say, of the AARP Maine State Office is the teamwork that exists between our staff and our volunteers. And together, we're working to serve almost 200,000 or over 200,000 AARP members throughout the state. And it's an enormous undertaking, of course. And our office is located in Portland, but our work does span the entire state of Maine. So we are very privileged to work with an incredible group of volunteers, really from one end of the state to the other, who fight on the issues that matter to AARP members and their families, 50 and older, things like, you know, advocacy and protecting Social Security and Medicare, making sure that individuals can stay in their own homes and communities and age in place with dignity and respect. There are many issues that we tackle. And one of them right now that our volunteers are very vocal about is really building the infrastructure of high-speed internet in the state of Maine so we can stay connected, so we can enjoy telehealth and seeing our family members during a pandemic and really being able to stay connected in ways that are very meaningful, whether you're a small business owner or you're trying to share time with your grandkids. It all comes down to being able to stay connected in an accessible and affordable manner.
Jane, to that point of staying connected, I think both you and I agree that staying in place and being able to age at home is best. And I would say, particularly in light of what we've seen here with COVID, nursing homes, retirement villages, etc. Having said that, many seniors, when aging in place, aging at their home, do suffer from social isolation. But I think AARP has even spoke to that issue. Am I right?
Oh, absolutely. Oh, my goodness. Absolutely. That is a critical point that you're making, and especially in a state like Maine with this far-flung population, very rural areas where we do find a lot of older adults who for one reason or another, may be living quite far away from neighbors and may over time have become isolated and lonely. They may have health problems. There are many reasons that this could be taking place. But one of the things that we've done is we've actually created a new guide that you can get right from our website, or you can call us, and we'd be more than happy to send a copy for free, of course. But it's a special guide that pulls together some of the best resources in the state of Maine to tackle loneliness and isolation, and also offers some very good resources for family caregivers. And I don't know if you remember this, David, but AARP periodically issues a report about family caregivers across the country, and they issue state-by-state reports. And believe it or not, there are 181,000 family caregivers in the state of Maine alone. And they're providing care to loved ones of all ages, more often than not older adults, but of all ages. And they're doing this for free. They really are such unsung heroes. So if listeners would like to get a copy of our guide, you can go straight to aarp.org/ME, and you can find our Resources to Fight Social Isolation Guide. And if you want to call us toll-free, we'd be more than happy to send you a copy. And that's 1-866-554-5380.
Could you repeat that phone number one more time?
Yes, absolutely. It's 1-866-554-5380.
Very good. Thank you again, Jane. Pleasure having you with us today.
Thank you.
Now we have Gary Crocker on, Maine Humorist. And Gary, what's on your mind today?
You know, this year we had a pretty easy winter. I wouldn't get used to it, mister. But I only had to plow my driveway 4 times. That's unusual. That's wicked unusual. And we got through it pretty good. And, you know, back in the late 90s, there was a thing called an ice storm. Well, geez, we didn't have power at the trailer for 2.5 weeks. And it was some cold, and everybody in Maine was doing everything they could to get their power hooked back up. Of course, CMP was on streets trying to get it done. And, boy, they were doing a great job. I have to say, big kudos to CMP back in them days. Well, CMP was driving up and down the road looking for down wires and down poles and down trees and down everything. And Maine people got pretty smart about it. In order to draw attention to their property, they put up signs. And some of the signs would say, if you come in here and hook my power up, we'll make you a wicked nice Maine breakfast, bacon and eggs and juice and coffee, and we'll even throw in some dinner rolls or some cinnamon rolls. Whatever you want, you can have it. Well, those signs are going up everywhere. Free meals here for hooking up power. Come on in. Come on down. One fellow went the extra mile, I have to say. He put up a huge sign at the end of his driveway. It said, "We'll trade wife for power." Well, CMP was a little more discerning than they thought. The fellows from CMP come along, put a sign right under it, tacked it right to the same tree that said, "Must be wife first."
That was a good one, Gary, from Central Maine Power to Senior Power. Thanks for joining us today. And now we have with us Brad Dyer of Senior Planning Center, and he's going to share some more important nuggets for us all to consider as we think about Medicare health plans. Brad, welcome to the show.
Hey, David. Thank you.
And I was wondering, because there's a lot of talk about Medicare Advantage programs, and of course, you know, you know better than anybody, but my guess is we still have an enormous amount of people on Medicare that are on what they call traditional Medicare. So I was wondering if you could just really quickly talk about what traditional Medicare is and why Medicare Advantage has come about.
No problem at all. You know, Medicare is a fairly complicated subject. I'd like to think it was easy to understand, but I guess that's, you know, why we have the jobs we have, is helping make these pretty complicated things way more simple. Traditionally, because Medicare is only available in America, when someone qualifies for Medicare at age 65, there are co-pays, co-insurances, and deductibles which can be quite substantial. You know, for instance, the Part B coinsurance is 20% of a Part B bill, and that's all the stuff you get done at the doctor's office. Those copays, coinsurances, and the deductibles are something that, you know, you're left to cover yourself when you turn 65. So traditionally what people have done in the insurance, you know, industry, they're smart. You know, they want to fill a gap and help people. They came up with what's called Medigap plans, and Medigap plans are really designed to pay the copays, coinsurances, and deductibles, not your medicines, not the copays for your medicines, but on your medical care to cover those. And they're great programs, but, you know, some of those programs have gotten to be about $240 a month per person. So not only do you have to pay your Part B premium, which is about $145, but you've got to, $148.50, but then you've got to go ahead and pay for your supplement as well. And right around 2005, a little after, you know, they started to work with Medicare Advantage plans, and that is a health plan that has a contract with the government, and there's generally a very low premium, a lot of times $0, and that is possible. That's a real thing, because the government's actually paying the premium for you, and then they offer additional benefits that aren't available under original Medicare. So a lot of complexity there, but also a lot of great options to help people cover those expenses that, quite frankly, they probably didn't plan for in retirement.
And so even with the Medicare Advantage out and having been out since around 2005, we still have almost two-thirds of the people in the state of Maine on traditional Medicare. Perhaps they don't realize that instead of paying for those expensive supplements to help fill the gaps, that they could be on Medicare Advantage. But isn't it true that Medicare Advantage still has some little gaps? And if that's the case, then how can we fill those in a cost-effective manner?
That's a really great question. I think it's important here that we're very clear that we would not disparage somebody who wanted to get what's called a Medicare supplement to augment their Part A and B of Medicare. I think that those serve purposes. I know some folks, when they are quite ill and they're very worried that I'm going to have more experiences at the hospital, more doctor's visits, they worry about copays. And Medicare supplements can be a great way to cover that. For the folks who, and a lot of them, frankly, just they truly don't have the money to pay for a traditional Medicare supplement. Remember, that's $200+ per person. It makes it very hard to pay your taxes and your oil bills and all that. Medicare Advantage is a really great solution. In fact, most people turning 65 now, I would say it's so close to 100% in our business that when they're turning 65, they're going with Medicare Advantage. But you're right, there's still some copays, some coinsurances. Deductibles are way more rare, almost non-existent, by the way. But there are programs out there that are designed to help fill in those gaps as well. In fact, a company called Guaranteed Trust Life, or GTL for short in our business, is a product that people can purchase for very little money every month. In fact, quite often what they find is if they have a supplement and they move to a Medicare Advantage, they've saved that money. They can pay a little bit to have this additional policy that will help reimburse you for copayments you pay. It's pretty incredible.
And if you have, for instance, a GTL, what'd you say, is Guaranteed Trust Life?
Yes, exactly.
If you have a GTL policy, for instance, with your Medicare Advantage, that's not going to cost as much as a supplement policy if you just had that with traditional Medicare, am I right?
Oh, not at all, yeah. So the Guaranteed Trust Life product is been around a long time, by the way. The premiums for that are based on your age. You know, it makes sense in our business. The likelihood that you're going to have more medical events does increase as you get older. But very, very low monthly premium per person for that Guaranteed Trust Life policy. But the payout is substantial. You know, for instance, a great example here is people worry that, well, if I go in the hospital, I'm going to have a $300 per day copay for 5 days. And those plans all vary, but that's roughly what it is. Well, you can buy a GTL or Guaranteed Trust Life policy that will actually help pay that $300 a day or more, or less if you wanted it to be less. But for what you put out per month in a premium, very, very quickly pays itself back if you have a medical event. So
And Brad, before we close, it's important that I mention that even though you have agents all over Maine, that you also have offices from Aroostook County to York County, the newest of which was in Sanford, Maine. But that in addition, is it too early? But I think you might be ready to make announcement of another new location.
Yeah, absolutely. No, it's not too early. We are very proudly opening our Belfast location in the Rennies Plaza. It is right in Belfast. One of our agent partners, Greg Morin of Morin Associates, is partnering with us to open that location. And I'm very proud to have him and his wife Joanne on board as they help us serve clients. And we're super excited for Waldo County. I think there's a giant opportunity there to serve the folks. And Greg and Joanne are going to do a fantastic job.
Well, again, and not to take away from the fact that you have agents all over Maine, but I think it is great that you have these location service centers for people. It's very important here in Maine. And I thank you so much for being on, Brad, today. Now, if they want to call direct, what would that number be?
Well, it's real easy. You can call our client support team at 207-223-6565. Again, it's 207-223-6565.
Well, great. Well, thank you for that helpful information, Brad Dyer of the Senior Planning Center. With each issue of Maine Seniors Magazine, the new publisher and associate publisher have responses to letters being written, and they call this Marion Jimmy.
And Gary writes, "I have a pet parrot. He repeats words he hears. I tend not to curse, but I often have a friend over who does curse. See where I'm going with this? I don't have a problem with cursing, but I'm worried that if I have company over, my parrot will say something distasteful."
Mm-hmm. Well, Gary, that does seem to be a little bit of a problem. If your parrot learned how to swear, maybe your parrot can learn how to say some nice things so when the people come over, he can greet them with nice sayings. I would work on retraining your bird, Gary.
Gary, this is Jimmy, and my advice is make a list of people that this bird would really offend. Then invite them all over very soon. Maybe none of them will ever come back.
Now this morning we have Dr. Len Kay, director of the Center on Aging with the University of Maine. And we welcome Len, Sage Lens, to the program. Len, and I know what you're going to talk about a little bit today. We had prior discussed this issue about nostalgia and how some folks thought if they were too nostalgic, that could be a problem. And don't get me wrong, I do understand if you drink too much water, that could be a problem. Yet, within reason, my guess is it's okay to be a little nostalgic.
I think you guessed right. I think it's a good thing. It does the body good for sure, which is certainly has not been historically the way we thought about David. Believe it or not, not all that long ago, nostalgia was considered a brain disease and with demonic causes. Believe it or not, but it, as you said, it turns out that small doses of nostalgia is good for the brain. It keeps you active. It keeps you thinking. It keeps you engaged in your own life and those around you.
Well, I'm thinking in part of the, and maybe there's a difference between reflection and being nostalgic, but there are very few things I do in life today where I don't, even if only temporarily, either reminisce or associate what I'm doing to something that I've done in the past. So my guess is it's pretty natural as well for people to be somewhat nostalgic.
It really is, especially as you grow older, David, because the number of experiences and adventures and victories and defeats that have been a part of your life journey accumulate. And so there's more to look back upon, some good and some bad, of course.
There is obviously some emotion tied with some nostalgia, be it, you know, good memories, sad memories, etc. So I can see where it can become a little bit of a impediment as you're trying to work through today into tomorrow, but there's also a recognition of your own personal perspective of history, and that's got to be some benefit as we move and grow forward as well.
Oh, for sure. I think, again, as people grow older, as they age, there's a natural inclination to be thinking about and if you will, summing up your accomplishment, your career, the work you've done, the relationships you've had, and it is natural to think back on that. And by the way, doing it again is for the most part very positive. In fact, research has told us that remembering or telling someone about your past has therapeutic value. It can reduce your sense of loneliness, of boredom, of stress, and even feeling depressed. It allows you to also work through some potentially unresolved issues. If you can study what occurred in one or more experiences in the past, you can think through it and bring closure, perhaps, to issues and challenges and help you resolve them and then look to the future. For me, it represents the accumulation of a very rich life. In old age, I think being able to take stock of who you are and where you've been and who you've known is really important. That sense of closure, that sense of appreciation for what you've been able to do is very, as I said, therapeutic. It also allows you, by the way, to share who you are with generations to follow. I think parents and grandparents have the opportunity, when they think about their past lives, to share that in many cases with those who will follow after them and benefit from some of the lessons that you and I have learned from what we've done and who we've known in our past lives.
You know, and to that point, I mean, you'd once said that, yes, some of these memories can sadden us, some can elevate our spirits, some can imprison us, and some, in effect, can set us free. But ultimately, when we do process those things properly, they will set us free. And ultimately, all those memories and experiences are indeed what has allowed us to be the total sum that we have become, and therefore, you know, as you've suggested, it's only with this deep reflection, reminiscing, nostalgia, or nostalgic thoughts and processing that we can actually get to the point where we have a good perspective on our overall full experiences and can share with others to their benefit to both truly know if it's a grandchild knowing grandpa or grandma type thing, or even for us to get a better handle on all that has happened through our lives, as they say, you know, that sort of full circle processing.
Very good. You see, you said that very well, and I hope everybody takes to heart what you just shared with us. It allows us to continue to better understand who we are, where we've been, and help guide us and instruct us, perhaps in terms of where we're going. Those life lessons from the past can be instructive and informative, and assist us in making, if you will, more thoughtful decisions that will serve us well as we move forward. So, again, thinking back to the past, I think, is healthy as long as we use it for a good purpose. We learn from it. It enables us to understand ourselves better. It allows us to share who we are and where we've been with those who we care about in our social network. And to the degree that we've learned from both our successes and our failures, I think it allows us to move forward with some sense of assuredness that we're doing the right thing. We're acting in a thoughtful and informed way as we grow older. Yes, one of the benefits of being nostalgic is to compare our experiences with those of our friends and our family members and our confidants, and reminds us that we're not all so different, regardless of where we have come from, regardless of our political belief or traditions. Nostalgic memories remind us that we're all human and we all have these rich experiences, many that overlap with around us.
You know, and to this point, when you talk about these overlapping experiences, I mean, part of it could be generational or from a similar community, et cetera. But when you said that a lot of nostalgic memories can be triggered by smell or a picture or a song or sound, you know, I think there are probably very few people that will listen to music from yesteryear that don't have some nostalgic memories. But I thought it was sort of interesting when you said it could even be a smell, until I started thinking about things like just the smell of an apple pie, and maybe you're thinking of the time you walked into your grandmother's house at Thanksgiving time. And so I can see where all this plays in, and some of these really are what I call light memories. And then, of course, sometimes you get almost a deja vu-like nostalgia, where you sort of feel like you've been here before, and there's so much that reminds you of a specific time, that you almost sense that time again. Is that just more nostalgia, just gone a little deeper, or is it a cousin as reminiscing as?
It is. It confirms the fact that the brain is an amazing organ. The brain, the memories embedded in the brain are there to stay, and in fact, the longer ago that those memories originated, believe it or not, the more likely they're going to be remembered, even as folks begin to grapple with the challenges of memory loss and God forbid, Alzheimer's disease and dementia. The fact is, these long-term memories of long-past experiences survive. Much more successfully than the short-term experiences of where we were 2 days ago and what we had for breakfast even this morning. The brain continues to amaze me, and it serves us well. I think it's telling that our memories of long past experiences remain accessible to us. The brain is telling us that those visions are valuable, and we should never set them aside.
Well, thank you so much, Sage Lenz, Dr. Len Kay, the Center on Aging, for sharing this with us today. And I might even quote, I think it was Bob Hope, when I say, Len, thanks for the memories.
Oh, thank you, David. Always great to visit with you.
Yes, I have learned that senior power is Maine's greatest natural resource. In fact, my passion for seniors came a long time ago when a dear family friend inscribed for me from your senior partner in his Black's Law Dictionary. Yes, I was 12 years old. I thought I wanted to be a lawyer then. Perhaps I should have been. But I do know this, that this gentleman that inscribed in my book from your senior partner has left something with me, and hopefully for our final thought today, it'll leave something with you, that you are senior partners and the world needs the senior partners to stay in the game. And so to all our senior partners, we thank you.
My insurance kept going up and up and up and up.
I was getting a lot of mail about Medicare.
I could never have navigated through the loopholes.
Mainers across the state are finding help at Senior Planning Center, which represents all major Medicare health plans.
Senior Planning Center was a lifesaver.
Senior Planning Center did it all.
Gave me all my options and signed me up with what I needed within an hour.
Call 223-6565. 223-6565. Help when it matters most. Senior Planning Center.com.